This meeting is now being recorded.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our meeting of the FICWIS IRT on Tuesday, May 24th, 2016. My name is Fabien Bétrémieux with the Global Domains Division of ICANN. Let me start with a quick roll call of IRT members. I see we have Jody, Joyce, Mark, Roger, Sarah, and Theo with us. Am I missing anyone? Not hearing anybody, so we probably have all our members there participating today. Just a quick reminder before we jump to our agenda and discussion today, please make sure your line is muted when you're not speaking. I think we've been getting a bit of background noise from a line or two, so please make sure you're muted. This meeting is recorded and will be transcribed. For the purpose of the transcript, please don't forget to state your name when you speak. And finally, if at any time you'd like to get into the queue to speak, please do so by raising your hand in the Adobe Connect room. So let's move on to our agenda for today's call. We're suggesting that we spend quite a bit of time on continuing our discussion on the transition from thin to thick and both tracks, existing registration and new registration. So we've suggested here a approximate time we'll adjust as needed, and we'll end our meeting with a few updates with respect to consistent labeling and display, prior discussion of the bundling of TNT and TLND, and the scheduling of our next meeting. Any comments, questions on the agenda? Hearing none. So let's go back to our, let's continue our discussion on the transition from thin to thick. Here is a reminder of our objective. I just want to mention and remind everybody that we're trying to finalize our discussion of the implementation path by the next ICANN meeting, which is at the end of the month of June, a month from now, pretty much. Here is a reminder of what we have been discussing. Staff has introduced a proposal to consider a path of least resistance in a sort to transition of existing registration. This has been discussed for some time with the IRT now, and the discussion is now revolving on around various open questions that are listed here, and we will take them one by one and kind of status where we are on each of these. So we started last week with question three, which is around what set of validation parameters should we aim for the transition of existing registration. My understanding is that the conversation reached a point where we have a sense of agreement of IRT members around only requiring contact ID and auth info. I apologize for the typo here. This agreement is based on the principle that are listed here, which were part of the discussion. And that is making sure that the RDDS output is the same before and after the transition, yet minimizing validation to ensure that all available data today is loaded, including if it's incomplete. And also there were some clarification that if a field is not required under the validation rules, it can be left blank. If anybody has questions and would like to get back to this discussion, we can bring up the documents, the validation rules document that we've been discussing. I noted a few elements that were pending further discussion, and those are listed here. A was confirmation of postal information type and the requirement for this field, and I believe Mark may be able to provide an update. There was the discussion of the requirement for registrars to supply all available data. That was a concern by Steve that there were currently no requirement for registrar to supply what they have as opposed to what would fit in the requirements. There was a topic around whether there should be a larger effort to reach out to more registrars, in particular the stakeholder group, to gather input in this proposal. There were concerns around the impact of missing data on post-transition transfer, and that's actually the subject of another of our open questions that we were not able to touch upon on the last call, so we might want to take some time to get there. And finally, there were concerns with some post-migration impact of the current proposal. So let me stop here and see if anybody would like to address either one of the open discussion points or would like to discuss the summary of our discussion last week. So I'm stopping here if anybody would like to get in the queue. Theo, please go
ahead. Thank you, Fabienne, and this is Theo for the record. I actually have an observation or a question, more or less. I mean, we're looking at these requirements here, and I think they're all rather specific, which is good. So we're getting into a really detailed mode here, so to speak. And my question is, and I'm going to track back a little bit here, on one of the earlier calls we dealt with what would happen with when we are moving data, when it comes to data privacy concerns or even legislation there or laws that would affect it. And my question here is, what is going to be the scope of our work here? I mean, we said like registrars will have to deal with these DPA laws themselves, but let's say the situation is a registrar wants to move the data to the United States and then gets a no-go from his government and cannot migrate. Are we going to deal with those situations in our review here, or what are we going to do with such scenarios? How far or how deep are we going to get with this IRT? Thank you. That's a bowl of questions.
Thank you, Theo, for certainly a quite intense starter question. So I think that topic we discussed back when the memo was released, the legal review memo, and I think we left it at a stage where registrars would conduct the analysis of their registration and the potential obstacles that they may face in either gathering consent from the end user for transfer of their registration information or for the actual transfer of the registration information. And the legal review memo listed a few options that were available in those situations. And so I think the scope of the discussion for the IRT is to determine, based on those conclusions, the necessary level of guidance that's needed as part of this implementation plan of the transition. So I hope that answers your question, Theo.
So we are going to guide those registrars who will enter in such a scenario. I'm trying to see how far are we going to go with this IRT here, because there might be a situation that the registrar cannot transfer migrated data. And are we going to guide those registrars there with some kind of advice there in our review? Or what are we going to do in such a situation?
So I think, Theo, there were a few options listed, such as, seeking the use of the WHO's conflict procedure with privacy laws. There was the notion of potentially using proxy and privacy services. There was the potential use of RDAP redirection. So I think those are for certainly the IRT to consider and and us to include as appropriate into an implementation plan.
Excellent. That answers the question. That means that for our further work, we might also go pretty deep in our review there and our advice there. We will hit, in my opinion, a lot of operational issues, and I think, well, if we go to that extent of advice, guidance, so to speak, we will, it will be a rather complex setting there, so to speak. But thank you very much.
Thank you, Theo. And so, yeah, I think so the approach so far has been that, you know, the legal review memo does not intend to replace the registrar's appreciation of you know, what would apply to a given situation. And so I think that's something to be considered as well.
Okay.
I see that, Mark, you're in the queue.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. I think, you know, Theo and Fabian, you sort of covered, you know, what my comments would have been. You know, I think I just sort of want to agree with what you both said. I think it would be good for the IRT to get into, you know, how to handle a situation where a registrar has conflict with local law. You know, what is the procedure? You know, Fabian, as you noted, there's, you know, there's a couple recommendations and there's a couple options that have been provided, but you know, I think it'd be worth the IRT looking into this and providing guidance on how they should be handled. You know, I think we want to strive towards a consistent approach, and so I think there's, you know, there's a risk if the IRT doesn't get into this that we have an inconsistent handling of conflicts with privacy law. So, I guess it sounds like I'm just agreeing with what you and Theo have said. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mark. And what I can do is take the action to remind everyone on the IRT through the mailing list of our deliverables in that area, the legal review memo, and pointing to the IRT meeting where we discussed this at length, so that maybe by the next meeting we can put that discussion on the agenda and go from there. So, Theo, Mark, and others, if you don't mind, and if you agree, maybe we can take a note of that discussion and you know, push that to the next meeting, and for now keep our momentum on the plan or the path for the transition of existing and new registration. Would you agree to doing that?
Sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, thanks. So on this question three, should there be a minimal set of validation parameters? Do we want to provide any update on any of those open discussion area? Is there any comments or question on this summary? I'm asking this question because we also have a lot of other grounds to cover. So at this stage, if nobody has any specific comment or update, maybe we can move on. Mark, I see you're in the queue.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. So I guess the first one, you know, as my name attached to it, confirmation of postal info type requirement. You know, so there was some question, you know, or I guess I was concerned that postal info type would need to be required still, and it really does. It would be considerable rework of our system to make that field optional. It can be, you know, local or in, it can be one or the other, but we really need to have one value there associated with each contact, and it would, you know, it's, you know, the way we've implemented contacts, it really depends on having one or the other. So we really need to have one value there when we receive a contact. You know, so I guess if you go to the previous slide, we have you know, the auth info and the contact ID as required. I think we're you know, or I guess my request is that we also leave postal info type as required as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark, for the update. I see Roger agreeing to the proposal. Any comments, objection, question? Okay, not hearing any, so we will add the postal info type as a third required element for the transfer of existing registration data in terms of validation. So unless anybody would like to discuss any of the other points, I suggest we move on, and I think our remaining question will address at least D and E on this list of open areas for discussion. But before we do that, Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. Sorry, one more on C there, gathering input from registrars. Theo and I spoke about this a little bit, and you know, I agree with Theo's point. I think it'd be good to get input from registrars on this. So I think our goal should be to have a finalized document. You know, so the updated validation rules document. I think we should have a finalized version of that, and my suggestion would be to request the registrar stakeholder group and also the registry stakeholder group to comment on that. You know, I think providing them a copy and requesting that they distribute among their members and solicit, you know, any feedback for that would be a reasonable step forward. You know, they may choose to comment or not to comment, but you know, I thought Theo made a good point about that, and it would be reasonable to send sort of the finalized version of our proposed validation rules to those two groups requesting their feedback. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. And specifically only those validation rules, or are you also thinking sharing whatever we have available in terms of the implementation path that's being considered and discussed in the IRT? I'm trying to get a sense of timeline. Sorry, I apologize. I just wanted to mention, I'm kind of wondering where we want to feed that into our timeline, which is, you know, to try to get to a finalized implementation path by the end of June. So I'm trying to get a sense of where you think that fits.
Good question. I mean, I was really only thinking in terms of the validation rules and sort of getting that in front of registries and registrars, you know, as soon as possible, you know, hopefully, you know, well ahead of the end of June. You raise a good point. I guess that, you know, I hadn't really considered the other aspects. See, Theo has his hand up. Maybe he has some thoughts there.
Since Fabian dropped off the line, let me continue here. I'm actually thinking that we should exclude all the other stuff at the moment and just have this one question answered. What do we want to migrate? What do we think is required? And I think that is what we actually need to be, what needs to be answered, and that has to come primarily, in my opinion, from the registrar group. I mentioned this on the last call. I thought there was some consensus there. Adding some feedback from the registry group, kick-ass ID, see what they come back with, what is handy, but primarily the registrars. And I think requesting this through a official channel, yeah, kick-ass. Let's see where we end up, and if we get some, well, maybe we get some consensus, maybe not, and we still have to make a decision here. So we'll just figure it out. Is Fabian back already? And he is not back. Anybody else has some input?
I feel this is Francisco Artis from Mike and I. Seems like Fabian is back.
If he's dialing back in, I don't know whether he can hear us. But I think what I'm hearing is Oh, hi.
Apologies. Francisco, would you like to go ahead?
No, I was trying to just fill in the
he was going to tell a joke, but then you came back to it.
thank you guys for filling the blank, and I apologize for dropping the line. It's actually my fault. I typed the wrong key. Instead of mute, I hung up, so I apologize for that. So thank you, Theo, for your contribution there. And so we'll try to give some thought to your suggestion that we involve on one side the registries and the registrars and see where that can fit. So is there any other point you'd like to discuss on question three? Should we move on to the other question?
I don't know whether a decision has been made. I don't know if you heard it, but are you going through the registry and registrar stakeholder with the validation document only?
So I think that to me is an open question that we should probably give some thought to as staff and come back with a proposal to the IRT at this point so that we can move on the discussion. So unless there is any objection, let me move on to question one. So we discussed this shortly over mailing list and in the last meeting. So the status of this is that there is an understanding that in terms of channels for doing the bulk data transfer, there will be, an EPP option, which was intended from the start by the registry. There's been discussion of requests that there are EPP, parallel EPP connections dedicated to that, and also a request that an alternative option be considered, and that's potentially through a file, and that was suggested for potentially serving needs of specific registrar. So I think we have the discussion open there and on those areas, but at least we have the certainty that there will be an EPP way of doing the transfer. Any comments, questions, updates on this topic? Mark, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. Yeah, I mean, I think obviously there's going to be an EPP way to handle that. So you say a registrar will provide option to use EPP for bulk transfer. I mean, it's not really bulk, right? For EPP, you know, you're doing transactions for each one individually. So, you know, it's not, I guess over EPP isn't the bulk option, or it's not necessarily accurate to say that's the bulk option, but you know, that is one option to perform the backfill of data. I think Roger's suggestion for a dedicated EPP connections for parallel processing is a good one. I hadn't thought about that, so I'll look into that option. The other one, option B, though, alternative option to be considered, you know, bulk upload of file. My question is, you know, how much detail should the TIC IRT get into as far as what that alternative is? Do we just want to say it'll be up to the registry to provide a bulk upload file option? Or do we, you know, based on the validation parameters, or do we want to get into more detail than that? And, you know, I'm fine if we don't want to get into more details and just leave it to the registry to provide that. But I guess I'll throw that out there. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Any opinion on that question from Mark? Roger?
Yeah, hi, this is Roger. I guess I'll agree with Mark here that I'm not sure that we have to define what that is. I mean, to me, this is really up to Verisign to define. So I don't know if this group has to specify that. We can just say that the registry will provide that specification.
Okay, thanks. Thanks, Roger, for your contribution. And Mark, also, please let me thank you for the clarification on the EPP for bulk transfer. I think that was certainly inaccurate, and we'll rectify. Thanks. So I see that Theo is agreeing to the suggestion that this may not be the place to discuss the details of that option, but so I think we'll leave it up to the registry to define the requirements. But what the IRT may do in the implementation proposal is to at least refer to that, confirm that there will be this option. I think that would probably be in the scope of the definition of the implementation plan. Theo, I see you have your hand raised.
Yeah, a quick question. If we leave it up to the registry, does that also, we've got marking agreement here for VeriSign. We also got the other registry for .pro. Don't they have to weigh in on this, or is there some procedure here?
Thank you, Theo. So for .jobs, we have a representative of the registry operator participating in the in the IRT, at least as an observer to the mailing list, I believe. So I think there's a level of coordination between, and Mark, I don't mean to speak for your company, obviously, but my understanding is that there's a level of coordination between the registry operator and the registry service provider in that area. Yeah. And we can certainly, you know, make sure and double check with the registry operator that is indeed involved in those and confirming those approaches. So if there are any other questions or comments with respect to the bulk transfer, let me move on. We discussed shortly the objective to minimize the throwaway code. I think there's a recognition that there may be some that may be unavoidable. I think there's an open question from Jennifer. I don't think she's here on the call today with respect to uniformity of registries SDK. So we'll keep that question at a point to discuss further. Unless anybody objects, let me move on to the other questions that remain open. So question four, should we aim to synchronize the new and existing registration tracks? There's been, I understand, agreement that we should keep those tracks separated to mitigate potential risk of delaying one due to the other, with an idea that we should focus on new registrations first in terms of timeline. So I believe we'll get to that when we clarify timeline. And also there were a comment by Mark that we should be aware that once the registry allows for new registrations to be transferred to STIC, there's nothing that prevents a registrar of using that channel to backfill existing registration, that is transferring existing registration data. And maybe the difference would be in this case that the validation rule that would apply would be those of new registration. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Mark, in terms of my understanding there.
Fabian, this is Mark. We wouldn't, you know, from a system perspective, we wouldn't have a way to differentiate sort of validation rules for new registrations versus the backfill of existing registrations. So whatever validation rules we decide on would apply to both. Hopefully that helps answer your question. Aside from that, I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, thanks, Mark. I think that's what I was trying to say, in which you said more eloquently. Thank you. Any comments, question on question four? If not, then we have a set of questions we haven't touched in detail in our conversation only via mailing list, and those are related to how the data is treated once it's migrated. So I think those questions were questions by IRT members when we discussed the option to apply minimum validation rules to the transition of existing registrations. And so the questions here were five and six were about what rules would apply to those existing registration compared to new registration. And so there was discussion on the main list, in particular by Roger for question 2005 that new and existing registration should be treated differently, that current rules should only apply to existing registration contacts when those contacts are updated. I understand. Or when the contact update date is greater than the transition date. And so there was the exception of transfer, which is the topic of question six. And there was a concern with transfers of registration after the transition, where a receiving registrar may bear the burden of data correction should the existing registration do not contain complete data. And so there was further discussion and a suggestion that there should be some kind of grandfathering of existing registration with respect to current ICANN and registry policies. So let me stop here and see if anybody would like to ask questions or comments on those discussions that happened over the main list. Theo, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Fabienne. This is Theo. When it comes to question six, my comment, you can actually strike that one off the list. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you, Theo. I certainly registered that you didn't feel it was a concern anymore, so I'm fine with adjusting the comments there. And so I think what we should determine is whether there is any concern around those two questions that remain, or whether we can close those questions and move on to discussing the other open items. Does anybody have any additional input? Mark, please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Mark. Can I ask Roger to explain his comment a little bit? I'm not sure I follow exactly what he's suggesting there on question number five. Thank you.
Roger, are you still with us?
Yeah, this is Roger. So I guess my response to five was similar to the other responses here. Is I think that current registrations, and again, I say this later, maybe more clearly, should be grandfathered so that until that they're actually implicitly updated or explicitly updated, they aren't, I guess they don't have to follow the current validation rules. Does that make sense? So that when we do push something over, not until they're updated would they actually have to fall into the new rules.
Mark?
Thank you, Fabian. It's Mark. I guess I'm trying to think as far as what's practical there, and I'm wondering, sort of our proposal so far is to go with these minimalist validation rules, and we could implement that for a period of time, and then maybe after a certain date we implement the previous my original proposal for validation rules. I guess is that what you're talking about, Roger, as far as like having
I think that's right, Mark. I think that the issue is the data that's already sitting there in your database, so those 100 million records that you have, only when they're updated would the new rules apply. So even if you said, for 6 months, we're going to allow this, but even after that 6 months, there's going to be a large number of contacts that, won't pass current validation.
Right.
And my proposal is that's okay, leave those alone until they're actually updated. And then once they're updated, does that make sense?
Okay, yeah, I got you now, thanks. I was a little slow on the uptake there. I mean, Then based on that, yeah, my suggestion would be we say we finalize our minimal validation rules, and then we say, okay, these minimal validation rules will be in effect until, and then we pick an appropriate time on the calendar, and then say from this point forward, these other validation rules would apply, and then any new contacts or modifications to existing contacts would use those other validation rules. Would that work?
Yeah, this is Roger. That's what I was thinking as well, Mark. With the exception of transfer data, how would we handle that if we're getting old data from a registrar, past this date, whatever that date is? If we receive a transfer request and receiving old data from the old registrar, until we actually physically do an update to those, I mean, I'd like to see those be accepted as well.
Fair enough. That's a good question. I'll have to think about that. I'm not sure offhand how that would work. I want to say that it would not be a problem. That it would go through fine. But I'm not positive. I'd have to double check on that.
Okay.
Okay, thank you, Mark and Roger, for the discussion, and thanks, Mark, for taking the action. I think we'll be looking forward to your feedback. If there isn't any other comment on question 5 and 6, I'd like to jump a new question. I'm adding here question 7, which is with respect to the timeline that we should consider for transferring existing registration. So Mark, you touched upon, potentially setting deadlines for validation rules to apply. Can I ask we go through a little bit of the same exercise we had with respect to new registration and try to throw out, given what we're currently considering as validation parameters, what would be a first approach of a timeline under which those existing registrations should be transferred under those validation parameters? I hope you can throw some numbers out there and so that we can have a sense of what should be an assumption at this stage. So I don't mean to put anybody on the spot, but I'd really be interested to have everyone's gut feeling on that. So Theo, I see you're checking. Would you mind sharing your perspective?
I don't mind sharing some perspective here. Just for you for the transcript. I don't have a timeline there for you, but I'm sort of wondering, we are going to set up a stage where there are going to be OTE accounts. Are we going to set up these OTE accounts before we go? I can assume that we are going to set up these OTE accounts prior to the migration. That is only the logical step there. But how in the timeline is the setting up of the OTE accounts affecting the timeline there? I'm trying to sort of fish here when we are going to set up these OTE accounts, because that might give us an indication for the timeline itself, if that makes any sense what I'm saying right now. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. May I ask, Roger?
Yeah, and I suppose maybe just following up a little with Theo. I think that would be somewhat important to get a realistic timeline on the we're looking at maybe 160 plus million contacts that we're going to have to create And honestly, that's, we can estimate that, but, you know, without actually getting in and hitting the system and seeing how long that process is going to take, and see what kind of, you know, getting back to my suggestion on the dedicated connections, what kind of throughput we can get on them. It'll be a pretty rough estimate, but I mean, we can come up with one probably.
Thank you, Roger. Theo, would you like to follow up?
Just a couple of more points. To piggyback on what Roger just said, as soon as we have a little sense there, how fast things are going, with a couple of registrars, see how fast they can migrate the data on an OT account. We also have to ask ourselves the questions, how are we going to deal with the logistics of coordinating this, because that should be also factored in into the timeline. I mean, we're talking about like 2,000 plus registrars, which is a boatload of registrars. So the coordination there, that if we have a sense there how much time we can get everybody engaged, get ready to do something, that gives us also an indication on a timeline. If it turns out that 30% of the registrars are completely non-responsive for whatever reason, that would delay the timeline there for the existing registrations, in my opinion. So that is something also to factor in. Thanks.
Thank you, Theo. Anybody like to share additional comments? I'm looking at your name in the list, Mark. I don't mean to put you on the spot, but if you had any, I think it'd be interesting to have your perspective as well. I'd be also curious to kind of determine how long we would need to get to the estimate that Roger was suggesting we could get to, because I think that's a core element to the implementation plan that we are trying to get to by the end of July. Be interested to hear any additional input on that.
Thank you, Fabian. This is Mark. I can try a little bit. I mean, I guess to Theo's first question, as far as OT&E, any changes we do in production, we would have to make the change in OT&E, minimum of 30 days prior to production. So whatever changes we're making, in production you'd have at least 30 days, prior in OT&E. I think what you're hearing from Roger and Theo though is that, it might be awful hard to estimate how much time is needed until you actually get in and start making the changes. The contacts, and it's not simple. Each registration requires, four contacts, and the contacts are created separately, and then later there's there's another transaction where those contacts are associated with a registration. And to be fair, one contact can be associated with multiple domains, so there's the potential at least for some reuse, but I guess I think that the point from Roger and Theo is it's awful hard to estimate that until you get in and start doing it. But also Theo's point, I think is a valid one, that, some registrars are going to be more proactive than others. We have, as Theo pointed out, we have over 2,000 separate registrars that, that register ComNet domains. So each of them are going to have their own timelines that need to be coordinated. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark, and thank you all for raising those topics, because I believe some of those would qualify in terms of setting the parameters of the implementation plan. And so I believe it's crucial that we've identified those and we can keep discussing them. Jody, would you like to go ahead?
Yeah, this is Jody, just for the record. So when you're talking about a timeline there, are you talking about when we're going to start or when we're going to end? or the whole transition. I mean, I guess to Roger and Theo's and Mark's point, it depends on how fast we're going to be able to do this and send the contacts in. As Roger said, it'll be 160 million contacts potentially that need to be created for just GoDaddy, and that's just going to take a lot of time. And then one of my other questions is too is how do we handle transfers? Let's say we're transferring a domain name from, you know, I guess the registrars have to think about that. If they have this implemented, where they're creating the contacts or they don't, and whether where they're transferring it from has contacts implemented already or not. I think it would be easier if the registrar actually has the contacts coded that's being transferred into, because then they can just create those, you know, replace those contacts. But if you're transferring a domain name from a registrar that has the contacts attached to the domain and it's being transferred to a registrar that doesn't have that completed yet, you know, I'm wondering how that's going to work, basically.
Thank you, Judy. So to answer your first question, I think what from a, you know, implementation plan definition perspective, I think we would want to be able to set an end date of some kind and, you know, potential milestones in the process should there be some indication of coordination, of principles of coordination with the specific milestones. I think we would probably want to have those in the implementation plan. So we're certainly more looking at a end date rather than start date, because the start will be set by the pace at which we define the plan and release it for public comment, et cetera. So that's your first question. So second one, I think we would probably want to address this topic, and I, you know, now that you've identified this, and I'll let other IT members maybe comment to that. But I think, you know, that's a topic that you put on the table, and we would want to keep track of and close as much as we can. Theo?
Thanks, Fabian. This is Theo. Jody just made some excellent kick-ass points there, and this is where we get into the nuts and bolts, so to speak. And this is a very, very important. I mean, while Jody was pushing out these points that he made, I was thinking like, yeah, okay, are we going to have a different set of OTE accounts? Are we going to use the existing OTE accounts? Are we going to use the data that we have in our existing OTE account? Are we communicate with the OTE account of VeriSign? Or do we actually want to copy all the existing data that we have on production to the OTE account? I mean, these are all these little basic questions which are very important, and we need, in my opinion, address that all, and we need to come up with a way to address that. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Theo. And so I think as staff in IIT, we need to determine what is appropriate to be in the scope of the implementation plan and what should be, details that are part of the registry operator's plan. So thanks for mentioning it, and I think we need to get to defining what goes in the implementation plan and what doesn't. Just a quick time check here. We only have 10 minutes left. I didn't want to interrupt this very qualitative discussion, but let me check if we can move on maybe to take a quick look at the state of our discussion on the new registration track. Anybody opposed to doing that? Any additional comments on what we've just discussed? Hearing none, not seeing any objections. So in terms of the new registration, that's pretty much been the status of our discussion since Marrakesh. I just want to note here that we have those two next steps here that we should pursue, the first one being whether we need any additional perspective on the system changes that the registries would implement to transition new registration, so that we can refine the timeline and get to agree on the detailed timeline which would make it into the implementation plan. So let me ask a quick question, and let's try to spend a few minutes here before moving on to the updates. Can IIT members provide a sense of what is needed for us to get to that stage of discussing a more detailed timeline or, in a sense, refining this estimate of 18 to 24 month timeline we have currently on the new registration track. Mark, please go ahead.
Thank you, Fabian. It's Mark. Just a minor correction. The current timeline estimates, your third bullet, 90 days notification of system changes to registries, should be to registrars there.
Thanks for catching.
No problem. And then on next steps, your first bullet there, registries to provide overview of system changes. I'm behind there, apparently, April 2016. But can I ask what additional information do registrars need there as far as an overview of system changes? I mean, beyond the minimum validation rules, I think your SDK is already available, which has the EPP commands for that. So I'm looking for a little guidance as far as what additional information registrars would need there. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. And I think my recollection is that was a point. Again, I don't mean to put anybody on the spot, but I think that question was raised by either Roger or Jody Marrakesh in our meeting, where there was a sense that before we can actually discuss in more details about the actual timeline, and in particular 12 to 18 months for registrars to complete the transition, which is a third bullet point under our timeline estimate there, we would need more details about what the registry's plan would be, and that might actually speak to the validation rules that would apply to new registration, which would be another set of validation rules. But let me others speak and make sure that they can provide the details there. Judy, please go ahead.
Fabian, this is Joyce. Can I ask a question? Is it Mark? I'm very fine.
Joyce, please let me. I think Jody was in the queue, and we'll come to
you.
Sorry. Thanks, Jody.
Well, that's all right. All I was going to say to Mark is we would just need formal notification of what's happening to the system. When it's going to be updated in the OT&E environment, and then what specifically is being updated. Like, you can now send in this is the new domain create command that you have to use with the four contacts. I mean, we're all pretty familiar with how this works, but it'd be good to have those examples from VeriSign to say, this is how our implementation works, even if it's exactly like everybody else's. It's, from GoDaddy's point of view, it's just good to see those examples so we're not guessing at what it is, even though it might be exactly like everybody else's EPP.
This is Mark, fair enough. We can provide that, not a problem.
And then there was just one more other thing that I wanted to add too here. I don't know that we've talked about this. I might be a little out of line or out of sequence in how this is. But when we cut over to required thick contacts for new registrations, and maybe we've discussed this before, but is there any way we could have, a trial period before that? So like if thick new registrations are required in production on May 1st, it'd be nice to be able to allow that like on April 1st. Allow us to start registering domain names with thick contacts just to make sure that our systems are ready so that when they are required, we don't start failing registrations if we've got something screwed up on May 1st.
This is Mark again. I think with our proposal, the first 90-day notice of system changes to optional thick, at that point, you would be able to do that.
Oh, there it is. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yes. So you'd be able to do that for, the entire, 12 to 18 month period. And then, only then after the second 90 day notification, only then would it be required thick. And again, we would make that change in OT&E at least 30 days before that.
Okay.
So an OT&E, you'd at least, you know, if there are any surprises there, hopefully it would be caught in OT&E.
Yeah, apparently I'm skipping right from the first bullet to the sixth bullet and forgetting everything in between. My apologies, guys.
Thank you, Judy and Mark. Joyce, you had a question?
Yeah, and this similar question to Mark. Regarding the SDK and the EPP change, you mentioned that when you're going to have the system change, are you going to release those SDK and EPP when you release the system change to all the registrars? Or are they already available, the SDK and the EPP?
Thank you, Joyce. This is Mark. The EPP SDK, is already available. We actually have a single EPP SDK on our website that, includes the thick information. So you can get that today. Roger suggested that, we send sort of before and after, examples as part of our 90-day notification. That's something we often do for changes of this magnitude. So, we can absolutely do that, as well. But, anybody could take a look at our EPP SDK today and see, how our system, would work once the transition to thick goes.
Oh, I didn't know that they are already available. So maybe you should send a notification to all the registrar and announce that they are available. And that's my first comment. And then I have a question. So there's not going to be any more changes on the SDK or EPP. Are those final version before the production comes available?
Joyce, this is Mark again. Never say never. I guess there's a... It's certainly possible there will be changes, but I would make changes only as necessary, and certainly we look to minimize changes, certainly impactful changes of this nature, but never say never there.
Okay, then that's great. If there's going to be any changes, I don't care that I know that there's a need for the changes, but that would be great if Verisign can send email to notify every registrar of the change. So that would be great. Because recently we experienced some error for updating the domain name because the info domain, Verisign, has changed a little bit. And we never, for the last 10 some years, we never had problem. But last month, all of a sudden, we have a problem. And, we took a look at the error message and everything, and we found out that your EPP has changed a little bit on the info domain, so we have to modify that. And I said, wait a minute, we've never received a notification of the change. When was that change, and so on and so forth. So maybe Verisign, if you can provide a better communication between your changes to the registrar, then that will make it much easier for us to change.
Yeah, thank you, Joyce. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt, but yeah. we have 1 minute left, and I would like to go through the next slide. So thanks for your comments. So I understand that in this area, there will be communications, or at least in the IRT, and then we'll determine what makes it into the implementation plan as far as commitments to communicate, to notify, et cetera. So in terms of updates, very quickly, I just want to be very conscious of your time. On the consistent labeling and display, we have been expecting comments from the IRT. We've received some. Please let us know if you require more time. If not, then we'll proceed with the input we've received so far. Regarding the bundling of the TNT implementation with CLND, Francisco, would you like to provide the update?
Sure. Thank you, Fabian. Some of you may have been in the GD Summit last week. I think we can conclude that there is not strong support on the idea. So we are thinking on dropping the suggestion to the IRT and the Genocide Council, and we are in the process of preparing a formal communication to vote. Thank you.
And so unless there is any comment or question on this topic, I'd like to get to the next IRT meetings. Currently, based on the plan we had suggested, we would meet in 2 weeks. That would be 7th of June. Considering the amount of topics we've raised and have yet to discuss, I'm wondering whether we would want to meet next week and potentially every week to Helsinki. Can I get a sense of what people think? Anybody objecting to the idea of meeting next week and having only a week notice for the meeting? Looking for, I see check marks, green, no objection. Please speak up if you if that's not working out for you. I see check marks. Great. So I'm suggesting we meet again next week. Thank you all for confirming your availability and willingness to participate. We really appreciate your time and contributions. So let me stop here. If anybody would like to comment or ask any question on this topic, if not, we will schedule our next meeting next Tuesday, same time. And we will be following up with the IRT on the action items we've discussed today. Thank you so much again for your time and participation, and we look forward to continuing our discussion over the main list next week in our next IRT meeting. Thank you so much. Have a nice end of your day.
Have a good one.
Thank you. Bye.